Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What's up, After Buzzers, and welcome to The Handmaid's Tale. Today we're talking about Episode 9, The Bridge. And will she jump?
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to The Handmaid's Tale After Show. This is some interesting music. I'm like, it's so up to
it's ambiguous.
It's by a man who had a song in the show. We got close, guys.
Okay. It's close. Yeah. It's fine.
Should have played Craig.
It's fun and mysterious.
Okay. Well, you know, we do have one more.
I never considered The Knife to be a fun band. It's probably the beat right now.
Yeah, I was going to say the beat as well. Anyway. This is The Handmaid's Tale After Show. Today we're talking about Episode 9, The Bridge. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And we have a live chat going. I see that you're all talking a whole lot, which we love. And if you are watching this later, though, you can comment down below. But if you're live, feel free to join in. And I'm joined by my awesome panel.
Hey, guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com, every Wednesday at Schmozno.
Hey, everyone, Veronica Barriga. I am on social media at Veronica B, the letter B, online, and on my website, www.veronicabonline.com.
Hi, guys. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. That's MSADRINSNOW.
Awesome. So let's get right into it. Oh, my gosh. Opening shot. How many people were, like, just salivating by how beautiful the opening scene was? Just the cinematography, those high angle shots. I'm so happy.
Everything about the show is perfect.
I'm so happy.
It's genius.
Like, This is so heavy, but then this is so pretty right now. This is, like, fun balance of, like, this is so depressing, but at least it looks pretty.
Yeah.
The little baby. So then we go to, it's off Warren, and it's the baby handoff and the handmaid send-off. Mm-hmm. It's like, couldn't it get, how more awkward could that situation get?
Right? I can think of a lot of ways to make it awkward, but I don't want to mention them because this is sad enough. I can't even imagine, like, I hate this wife more than any of the other wives we've seen. She's an awful human being.
She's a Carradine. She's Carradine. She's David Carradine's, like, niece or something.
Your acting is phenomenal because I violently hate you
in
this show.
She's great in Eureka. I didn't even recognize her. I was like...
Wait, what is she in Eureka?
She's the sister of the sheriff.
I totally forgot. Yeah. Okay, she's great because she's really good in that show, and I love her. She's like my favorite character.
Well, and this is a really good, like, this show, good character to hate.
Yes.
To hate, yeah.
Her being impatient with the baby handoff, I'm like, she has to hand over this child with a man that she thinks she's in love with.
Yep. He's a weasel.
He is the worst.
He's absolutely horrible. And bouncy off of that, Alexis in the chat goes, and she does not even like that child. Yeah,
like, I know.
She's like, I don't care, baby.
She's complaining about it, and it, like, she doesn't know how to comfort it.
Yeah.
The one time you feel a connection with Serena, she's like, let me just gently balance. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't need your help. I'm like, someone get this child away from this woman. Yeah. She's so cold.
Thank your lucky stars. Yeah, she's very ungrateful.
Yeah. But I, you know, I'm a difficult relationship with Lydia. I feel like she's really, at some points you're like, man, you're really helping these girls through a difficult situation. At some point you're like, you are their jailer and why are you doing this?
Yep.
But I was kind of grateful that she was in the scene kind of helping the passing along because I feel like it could have been violent and awful.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she would have been able to do it without Lydia there. No. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. This episode had so many peaks and valleys of how you cared about Lydia that I was like, I don't know if I like that I like her at moments, but then I'm like, But it's great that the show does that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's not a one-note character that you're like, I love you or I hate you. It's just like,
you're a human.
You're complicated.
You're a human being. Yeah. You're not a good human being, but you're a human.
Yes. Then we go to Off-Warren, Aunt Lydia, and then I like how Offred is like talking, and all the other handmaids are like, head down.
I did notice that. They were like, ooh, she's asking a question.
Yes.
Ooh, like, how dare you?
Yeah. I like it, though. This is.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a subjugated group like this, the smart one or the one that everyone listens to is often kind of called out and made, I don't want to say like a pony show, but like definitely is like sets the example and the rule and how far you can push things.
Right.
So I was really proud of her for taking a step out of line and being like, hey, that woman is not well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Since you can't make demands. It's scary. I thought Aunt Lydia would definitely have a reaction, but they seem to have gaining some kind of mutual respect with each other, which is exciting.
Well, we see.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That later because they call upon her because they know they have a connection. So
there's
that, and then she has that moment where she's trying to talk to Alma. I was forgetting her name before. I don't know what off she is, but when she kind of goes like, "So I want to join Mayday," and she's like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Girl, not in public around all these people. Are you foolish? You trying to get us picked up by a black man?
Yes. Other handmaids.
She's so cute though. I like her eagerness. She's like, "Okay, right now's the moment. Let's go. Let's let's do it now or never." And it actually works, so it's nice.
But then she gets, our Off-Warren gets reposted to Commander Daniel and Mrs. Monroe, the new family far away.
Oh, boy.
And then,
I love your face right now, Adrian.
Offred's, like partner, her handmaiden to the side, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The new Off-Glen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
on
exactly.
On subtitles, I think I missed it. I wish I could have paused it, but I thought it said Off-Glen number two.
One, that's hilarious.
Two, that's awesome.
Off-Glen number two is awful for her to be like, she's so lucky. She's a nice family. She's blessed. Shut up, girl. You're the worst. Yeah. And I also hate you. I found myself hating a lot of people this episode. And then the whole, wife, That weird creepy nice where she's like, no, it's happening together. And this couple's really into
Off Daniel.
Yeah. No. Is that who she is now?
Yeah.
Off Daniel.
Janine's new family. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Her name, but it's interesting. It's Off Daniel, but they called her Mrs. Monroe. So unless her first name's Monroe, it was kind of weird that.
Not
to this is gonna sound very stereotypical, and I don't want to stereotype, but they were the most creepiest religious looking couple. I'm stereotyping, but I was like, this looks like the perfect church going Caucasian couple, and then they played to that, and it made that scene extra creepy for me, and extra awful, and kind of, I guess it's just a testament to the casting and the acting, really, because it made me feel like it was so, these would be the type of people to handle this situation in this way.
I understand what you're saying, this idea of they're, so nice in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they give her zero time to adjust or to,
have
the conversation. Because and then when she's, holding her down and it's...
Yes.
She's, there's no sympathy for her at all. It's just like, no, you're just an item to be used. Please perform your function so we can move on with our lives.
She's very prim and proper, but still doing
She's not
that.
A person to them, She's like a thing that they have to kind of... do, and they want to do it happily, and she doesn't exist.
I was a little surprised that they're ceremony right away. I was like, whoa, no adjustment time. And then this is an example where it was an older couple. Where is that creepier? I mean, it all is weird and creepy, it was just and how, at first I was like, the wife seems nice, ? And then I'm like, that got creepy real fast.
That's it, too. I was like, oh, good. A reprieve from her hell. Maybe somebody will be, really cut. No.
Yes.
I was a bit confused, only because they didn't do the same type of ritual that we see with Offred, where she comes into the room, she kneels, other people come to the room, they read, and they
Janine pointed that out. She's like, shouldn't we be downstairs?
Well, no, they do it in the bedroom. Because the last time Nick and Rita came in. They came into the bedroom to
the whole Bible. The ceremony,
their ceremony seemed to be a little different. So I think they just do their own thing.
Well, that's what I say. What seems interesting is you're starting to see the the varying ways people practice their religion throughout. So I think the Fred is a very devout kind of person. We see them perform their rituals before they get married, even married before they have sex. They're like, if we say these things, suddenly we're married. No. And then we see the guy who takes New York isn't very religious, but he's allowed in because he took New York, which is a great battleground. So I don't think everybody across the board is practicing the same way, and I think it'll be interesting to see how people react to this couple who, even though they don't necessarily perform the ritual, they're kind of doing all the same actions, so does it count?
The true colors of the society is coming out in this episode, and I really loved it. It was like, okay, these are sort of the results of your, or the consequences. We're starting to see consequences, finally, because everything else was just like a setup up to this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It feels like.
Oh, yeah. Lisa in the chat says, yeah, we're in this together. And it's like, no, you're getting raped. It was interesting, too, that she's like, no, and saying it verbally.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Then we have the, Mrs. Waterford and Putnam talking with the baby Angela and how, like, the other woman walks up to like check out the baby and the guard's like, no,
ma'am, with your semi-automatic assault rifle, sir, get away from the baby with your giant gun. Like, you pose three times a threat in this old lady who just wants to see a baby.
That's the first time we've also seen an Econo wife, I think, because I went and looked her up and she was just labeled Econo wife. So that was interesting.
That's what I was curious.
She wasn't like a Martha.
Can you guys explain what an Econo wife is?
So it's for people who are not like the, essentially like lower class people. They're not commander wives or anything like that. They're just people who are a part of the system.
Essentially
blue collar people. And women are still assigned to men, but you are of a low status if you have an Econo wife.
Mm. So you won't get a baby, or you won't get a handmaid?
You definitely won't get a handmaid. You probably won't have a baby.
Okay.
Because you only get handmaids if you cannot do it on your own. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How did they spell it? I'm just curious, because as I read it, I thought it was more like, econ wife, economic.
Economy wife.
But that's how they're described in the book, too. But their outfits are a different thing, too, and they're, like, a little more tacky looking, like stripes or something.
Mm. Yeah,
like,
at first I thought she was Martha.
Yeah. that was interesting.
My inclination, yeah.
Then we have with Offred and the Alma, they was like, okay, well, you need to go back to, if you want to do this with us, you want to do Mayday, go to Jezebel's today, tonight.
So fast. I like it, though, because she kind of, as much as we all love Offred, because she's great, you know, she's a survivor and a warrior, and that's dope.
Yeah.
But it's also frustrating because she makes these decisions where I'm like, you should pause and really think about what it is you're asking for and how you plan to proceed. She has no plan. She's like, I want to help.
I love that about her. What you're saying. You're like protective of her. You don't want her to get into too much trouble too fast. But I love it. This is the bravest I've ever seen her. Mm. She's at the point of no return. You know what I'm saying? She made a solid decision. Like, if I die, I'm going to die with dignity. Mm-hmm. And if I fight, I might have a tiny chance at freedom. But I'm not going to live as a coward, as she put it. You know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I love her in this.
I think we kind of talked about it, but Mr. Henry in the chat says, I don't understand why Janine was sent to another family. Shouldn't Lydia have foreseen what happened? Once you've had the baby, and the baby is weaned off of you, essentially, they move you to a new family.
You have to have another baby now.
Yeah.
Like, now you're a baby-making factory.
Until you can't.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about, I think it was like a three-month period that the woman after she's given birth is around to breastfeed, because they believe in that being the purest, best thing for the baby. And then once the baby's kind of weaned to the bottle, that's when they move you to a new family. I don't think they really go back to the Red Center. They just put you with a new one.
Mm-hmm. And no family ever gets more than one child. Is that correct? I don't think they go into that too much.
Well, you might.
I think they get.
If you get lucky and have twins, or maybe if you have a super.
Okay, I was curious.
If you're super high standing, perhaps. They haven't really dived into it in the show terms yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we have, as you were saying, Joelle. Yeah, so she goes to the commander. I'm like, I'm going to seduce you and thank you to get what I want. I was like, this is slightly awkward. Actually, the thing I wanted her to say that I'm like, this would just make him like go to his knees of like, she needs to be like, that turns me on. Not that he would care about it, but like, going more sexual in her talk. I was waiting for her to say that because she's kind of, he's kind of like, do you like that? She's like, yeah.
I'm like, I'm really glad that she didn't, though, because well, because like, I mean, no. she's an active victim in this moment, and so the idea, like, it is really, I love the way they shot and wrote these scenes, because you can tell, like, how challenging it is to be like, haha, I really enjoy this. Please, like, so keep going so that I can get to the bar, I guess. And as you say, like, you were commenting on how brave she was earlier. To see her go full spy mode has been really exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Because espionage. Oh, it's my favorite.
She's thinking about the way she winks, the way she looks, the way she, you know, every moment is calculated for her. And then when she leaves, exactly, it's life or death. And then when she leaves the room, you see her, like, breathe, and you're like, wow, she did a good job, you know. It's,
she's playing to his power, not to his necessarily his, like, sexual desire.
That's true.
Because, like, for, I think for him, especially, sex at this point in his life is more of a power play. It's not really a fun time, you know. He doesn't really care about what she wants sexually. So
That totally speaks upon later when she's kind of like, no, I want to go to the bar because I see how everyone reacts around you, and you're just like, that's and of a good, course, good play, girl. Good
and of
play.
Course, his response to that of being like, oh, well, I want to bring in another girl so that I can be twice as powerful.
And you're like, no, got weird.
Sure.
Kind of side note, Bernie in the chat goes, I wonder if they're ever going to touch upon what happens to the babies that are born below the standards of Gilead. They haven't quite done that. So if a baby's not born
perfect,
you know, normal, they die and send to colonies. Wow. Like, they just get rid of them. It's one of those... I mean, I think they even go to the point of, like, deformities to handicaps, anything.
Wow. That's old school testament right there. You put your baby on the cliff and you bounce. that was a common thing.
I just read it because Bernie points out, good point, they brought it. She says, never mention, the babies born in that manner are called shredders. And, they're just get rid of them.
My goodness.
I don't remember the specific thing, but yes.
You'd think they would just want any child, just to...
No, yeah. Then we get to... Oh, well, you know what, though? When she left the room after she had a moment of breath, and her, like, walk-em-all, she is ready for battle.
She's that ready for battle,
battle face.
Wait, I'm sorry, are you talking about after...
Once she tried to seduce him, and she takes a moment after she left the office, she goes... And I was like, yes, I like that she had that determination face. Yeah,
in it to win it, you know. She's
Nick, when she's like, Nick needs to just chill, which is kind of nice for her to be like, I can say this to you in front of your face.
Love it.
And mean it fine for the situation I'm in.
It was such a girl.
What is that face?
You like it?
What's that face?
I just feel like, okay, look, again, this is what I'm talking about, like, you have to be paranoid, and she's not paranoid enough.
Okay.
And I'm like, you're going to get yourself killed, girl, because Nick is already on the hunt. Nick is like, this is weird. This is new. What's changing? Nick is a spy, and you know he's a good spy because he told you inside information before that girl got taken down. I feel like maybe pissing him off or trying to make him jealous, even though totally natural reactions, not your smartest play, and it's making me nervous.
It was fun to watch. That was such a girl moment. Get him jealous, girl.
Dangerous.
I just don't think she cares at this point if she's like alive or dead. Because you kind of alluded
That's
to
fair.
That when she was talking to Maura. And then also, she knows that her husband's alive, so if nothing else, like, if she's not going to be able to go get Hannah, she's at least assured that he's alive and he could possibly go get her.
A moment that was really small but creepy, and there's so many moments this commander is getting tired, when she's like, I'll have to think of a way to thank you, and then he goes, I'll think of something. And then that just totally took it away, because it's a different thing if she's like, I'm going to do this for you, and he's like, I will make you do this thing. And you're like, ugh. Then it was wonderful that they cut right there to Serena, which I was like, oh, that was such a fun little thing of their moment, and it's her. Could we tell what she was wrapping up in the blanket thing? It looked like she put an item there, but I couldn't quite tell
what it was. I
thought
it might be rosemary
or like something. Like a pleasant smell or something.
I thought it was a flower.
Because then she put stuff away, and she had baby stuff in the drawer.
Did you save it from the purge, or was one of your girls pregnant before, and you thought you were having a baby, and then the baby didn't work out? have a lot of questions.
Is I want to go with Baby Didn't Work Out because of her conversation with the Martha talking about it happens that babies die.
Yeah.
And only because also when we did see them do the official purge, when she got rid of all of her books, there was the garbage truck that drove past that had like all the kids' stuff in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I assume like they have to go out and get that stuff.
Probably. Yeah. Then we have baby stuff. Oh, yeah. And then the moment, though, where the Martha essentially almost spills the beans of, like, I thought the commander was back.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, I was surprised that she didn't, like, follow through with that. But she's like, okay, I know my place. Like, mm-hmm. she thinks about things more than June.
Mm-hmm. Martha has nothing but time to think. Like, she doesn't go out and do the shopping. Yeah. That's Offred's job. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, she stays in the house, and she cooks, and she watches people, and she stays quiet. Mm-hmm. That girl is going to be well-planned and prepared when the things go down. Mm-hmm. I like that she was like, okay, how do I make this better?
Right.
Something for the soul? Do you need liquor?
Like, yeah, I know that's what you were looking for, so do you want me to get it? It's kind of what she was saying.
It's totally fine. Don't even worry about it.
So weird, the facade that they live in, everyone. It's just okay, I'm not allowed to drink. I'm not allowed to have sex. I'm not allowed to do this, but hey, we do it anyway, and I'm going to look you in the eye, and we're going to call it something different, and it's like, it's a facade, you know? It's
a repressed patriarchal society.
I was going to say, that happens today.
That's what that's what I'm sort of saying. it's ridiculous.
Sierra and the chat says, Serena has mad knitting skills, though. And then Insane Lane says, suppose she doesn't have much else to be busy with.
That's true.
You know, good hobbies. But how much did we like the moment, though, where Serena and the Martha shared a drink together? It was kind of nice to see two other women that we haven't really had a scene together with much have a conversation.
Yeah.
And then learning about the Martha, Rita's lost son, who died in the war, which I like Serena's face, like, and I'm the starter part of that, so I kind of killed your child.
Well,
pretty much. A little bit.
Serena had such a strange response because they couldn't quite tell if it was, oh, well, he fought for a good cause, and look at, we're all better, or if she doesn't recognize, or if she was willfully, like, purposely being ignorant of the fact that he was fighting for the other side. I didn't understand what the dynamic was there.
I think intentionally made the assumption that he was fighting for their side as a way of just saying, like, as a way of kind of saying, like, if he was fighting for the other side, that's not something we need to discuss. Because it's like, everyone's supposed to be on board with Gilead at this
point. That's fair.
Yeah.
You know?
Then we have we did the same. After the really creepy ceremony scene, that was also a nice creepy cut over to June, where she was with him and having sex with the commander. This episode had a lot of fun cuts from one group to another group, because then it's just like juxtaposing them. So when she's with the commander and he's kind of like, you know, you can make more noise next time, and I was just like,
The line is, you can disgusting. Be free here, just has been the face of just so much last week when he was like, we're all human after all, and I'm like, sir, you just should not say things like this. Like, what a dick.
Stop speaking in this way.
Chat feels a little unclear on whose side Martha's son was on. I felt he was the opposition side.
I certainly Martha looked like she wanted to slap the hell out of her, but was just like, let me just drink this liquor and be grateful.
Yeah. By how she said it, I would assume that her son was not on.
That is also my assumption.
Not the alien side.
I'm really hoping we get a Martha backstory, because she's been so quiet.
Yeah.
And I want her to do something.
We'll probably get it next year.
And if you like that actress, I just started Dark Matter. She's in the first two episodes of Dark Matter. So I was like, oh, nice. It's Martha. That was cool. So then we got, the fluffing the ego. And then he's like, oh, I know what you want. And I'm just like, oh, gosh, what is it? And
me
we
too.
Meet Ruby.
Ew. Wait, we have to pause for a moment.
Yeah.
Hey, girl. So, Ruby. I was like, for real, though? Are we going to give her, like, the most slave name possible? Ooh, it rubbed me so wrong. I was like, I hate this whole section, and I'd like it to be over.
They have to eventually address race in the show.
Right?
Only because Lamora was caught and then sold into sexual slavery in the name of Ruby, and she dresses in Ruby-themed colors. And it's kind of like, you can't not address that's layered, this black woman has been sold into sexual slavery. And you can't not address that when she and June have their confrontation, that it's weird to see a white woman tell a black woman she has to, like, be strong and, like, you know, and fight the good fight. Because historically, a lot of feminism, a lot of the foundation for, especially second wave feminism, came from black people or black women. So that's that kind of thing of like,
it's weird that it's happening this way. It's one of those things that works really well in the show for the characters because I like Ruby. Ruby, I'm so sorry that I just said that. Moira, I'm really sorry. I feel bad that Moira, like, I like her trajectory of, like, I'm going to escape and I'm going to be fine and we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. And then being beaten back aside and being like, okay, so if I just behave, nothing bad will happen to me.
And also there's another layer to that, the fact that she is a gay woman. So what does that even mean for her to be sold into sexual slavery where she's only having sexual acts with men? If there is another woman.
There might be women, too.
Yeah, there might be, but nonetheless, majority of her sexual acts in the state
most
of Gilead are
there.
Going to be with men. If a woman is there, she is there as a prop as well. You know what I mean? So that's a whole nother layer that they don't even touch on, like what that means for her as a gay black woman.
Well, that's something we kind of addressed last week a little bit, which I'd be curious to know what you think, because I think we talked about it. So in the book, Moira, maybe not last week, but with Moira there, something she says in the book is she likes it in the sense that she's able to be gay there, you know, and express herself that way. But the show didn't really outright say it that way. And I was wondering if you think they should have added that or not, or is it we assume that she can do stuff there?
I think that's something that, like, overall, like, this past week, I saw Wonder Woman. I loved Wonder Woman, and I love Handmaid's Tale, but there is something about telling only one type of woman's story that's really frustrating. So we get a little bit of Off-Glenn's story, but it's really not much in terms of what it is to be a lesbian in this world. We get a little bit of Mara, but it's really not much in terms of what it is to be a black woman in this world and a lesbian in this world. So, like, and that was my issue with Wonder Woman as well. I was like, come on now. You know they all gay on that island, right?
Like,
come on now.
It's been thousands of years, y'all.
They say they don't need men, so.
Come on.
Oh, how funny.
So there's that kind of, instead of just touching on it, just go in. Just do it. Like, because those are stories that want to be heard as well.
I understand what you're saying. I think that could be like a spin-off show, though. There's so much to cover. I'm not saying that they shouldn't cover it, but I think it's more like, I don't know. I like the fact that it's just like we're all women together in this, and the fact that, you know, I'm a different race or I prefer different things with my sexuality is sort of secondary. I think that it's like, it's
but
just
I think those
based
things
on the
are,
fact.
Are what makes these women's stories interesting.
Yeah.
I think
of
the
course,
things that
of
make
course.
Us specifically
of course.
Ourselves is what really drives good story narrative.
Yeah.
And so it's frustrating because we know all these elements about Moira already.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the setting is primed to address those, and they just don't quite get touched on.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if a whole secondary show is necessary, but it would be nice if, you know, if we get a Moira-centered episode soon that focuses on, like, what is that struggle like? Like, how do you have to behave?
Well, we only have one more.
Well, yeah, no, we're talking about next season.
Yeah, something totally side note that we all need to remember. Mm-hmm. In the book, all these characters are white.
Yeah, no.
So
but
this would this then be the job of the screenwriters and the writers of these episodes to have addressed it further?
Yes.
Or is that at least a baby step that they made characters all white?
Here's the thing. When people say, like, baby steps... there's just, it's 2017.
You've
had 50 plus years to get over your baby steps. So it's kind of something where it's, I understand that people, that speaks to like a type of tokenism that people kind of don't want to address anymore. We like to say diverse, and diverse means all these things, but it really just means like, oh, we've included people of color in the story, and this person's gay, and we've mentioned it once, and that's it. But as a person of color, I can say that my life as a black woman is never secondary. Like, there's never a part where the black comes after the woman. It's always together.
Yeah.
So that's something that when I see a story and they have a black character and she is a lesbian, that has to be addressed. Even if it's something where it's briefly where it's like the frustration she has to deal with of why she's like accepted her role as a Jezebel, it's layered with the fact that she is a gay woman and they want to talk about the fact that at least she can be a little bit more free here because of that, then that's fine to talk about, but you have to address it. You can't just like ignore all those other parts of her and only focus on the woman part.
I agree. And to further that point, like, Moira is, again, just ripe for these kinds of stories. Like, she's there and she's prepped for it. And to your point earlier of, like, well, they're included here. If you're not going to do anything with the story, I'd almost prefer that it was just white so that we could explore, like, what that does to a society when we completely remove diversity. But you've included these characters, so you should tell their stories in a way that is honest and truthful.
I think they will. I mean, I don't know. We're not done with the series yet. And to be honest, I'm Latina. I may look Caucasian, but I don't really see Latinas in this show. You know?
It's true. We haven't seen a lot of like Asian women either. No.
Yeah, I think we saw like one or something. Yeah. Maybe.
Rita is implied to be Afro Latina. At least Rita.
Rita
is implied to be Afro Latina, and also, I think even in the book there was a kind of like an implication that the Martha's.
I thought the Marthas were not white.
They
per
were
se.
Implied to be Latino.
Okay. Yeah, sure. That one felt very stereotypical.
But that's also another thing of like, I would happily watch a story about Rita and what that means, that she's placed in a position where she's essentially a maid. And is that based on the fact that she is a Latino woman? And what does that mean?
Yeah.
So, like, those are the kind of stories that, like, I don't expect them to do it all in first season.
Yeah.
But that's
something
that, if you put it there, you eventually should address it in some way because people of color are watching it and we're going, why are you ignoring this?
Mm-hmm. Right, do you think Orange is a little off topic, but not really, but did you think Orange is the New Black did a good job doing that? Because that was like the ultimate diverse cast.
No, Orange is the New Black did a lot of the same things that were...
Okay.
Well, not only that, Orange is the New Black has an almost all white writing room. Mm-hmm. Which is really problematic in that they again, it's tokenism, like diversity. Like, oh, well, they're in there and we're talking about hot button issues. Mm. But we don't really explore them in a way like they had Tasty say that being black and being a woman are like two different things. And I was like, I'm done with this show. That was the minute I tuned out.
All right. Tying back into the show, but a good question with race and it. Curious what the panel thinks. So, I think it's Nat says, I mean, all the commanders are white, and what would it mean to have a child that's half black? Because we've seen some of the handmaids
also
are not
this.
White. Do higher-ranking commanders get non-white handmaids? And then someone else, Alexis, says, are there upper-level men of color? I don't think we've really seen that at all.
Yeah.
And it'd be very interesting if they did mixed-raced kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then technically Jude's baby is, so where does that child go? Because,
Well, they have mixed race kids, right? Because there's black.
We've seen them running around, but again, we haven't seen like what are those like? How what is that like? Is that like considered a lesser child?
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that I know like a lot of friends who've adopted children from Africa, like, oh, is your baby cheaper?
What?
Oh yeah, all kinds of things.
What?
Adrian was like,
my eyes bugged out. My eyes bugged out for a second, and then I went, wait, yeah, of course.
Life.
So
it would be interesting to address those kinds of topics and see them. Hopefully, we get to it in
second
season 2.
I just want them to blow out the world more second season. You showed this really great world.
I think
world.
They will.
Like,
to
this
be honest,
is a nice way that they've laid the groundwork. So now it's like, okay, now you've already put it out there. You need to do something with it instead of just be like.
And I think
here's
they
our
will.
Thing.
My inclination is that they will, yeah.
Yeah. Then we have, back to our timeline. When Serena catches the commander coming home was a little interesting, that kind of attempt at a standoff, but not really. It's like, and no.
I love that, because Serena, again, is somebody who's acclimated to her space, and she knows her role, and she's like, okay, so what I'll do is I'll just be quiet, and I'll be a dutiful wife, but I'm going to let you know I know. Like, it was just like, it's late. Cool. I like this. I like salty Serena. I'm so afraid she's going to take it out on Offred, which is exactly what I don't want, but exactly what would happen, because she's allowed to take it off on Offred.
I was worried that they were, not that he would be that stupid to walk in with Offred in the same door, but I kind of was like, oh, thank goodness they weren't seen together by her. I felt that could have been way worse.
Can you imagine, Offred and the commander came in and the Martha and the wife are sipping, drinking their drinks, and then all these worlds come together and you're like, wait, what are you doing? Wait, what are you doing? I don't know. I had this fantasy of clashing in that way. Like, how awkward would that be?
I realized we kind of touched upon it. Was there anything else with the Moira and June and encouraging her?
Just that June's breakdown was really hard, and I super pissed at the commander for being like, hey, get it together. And I was like, well, you bought her best friend from the past and gave them like a cool 10 minutes to talk. And the whole world is turned upside down.
But do you notice like there was a weird similarity between like what the commander said about assuming that they had like some type of relationship and also how her husband had said the same thing in the past? He assumed that because there were two women in a relationship or in a friendship and one of them was gay that they must have been some point.
Sexual relationships.
Yep. Good observation.
It's so. One of those, like, wait, why can that just be assumed?
Yeah.
Then we get the... And then the other main huge thing that happened is Off Daniel escape, gets the baby, goes to the bridge, and does call out that commander and all of his perversions.
Oh, what a day, everybody. What a good moment.
Mm. Yeah. Tell them.
So happy about that.
Tell them.
And then the great moment, though, too, offered in a way, which was this, like, moment, offered when she tells him to step back was cool. Because it's like, no, y'all got to step back. Yeah. You're too close to this.
Who is this woman? Sir, you need to stand down. You're in so much trouble.
But that was kind of nice that the commander, like, backed her up on it. That I'm like, oh, I hate you so much, but thank you.
Again, is it nice or is it a status symbol? Because we saw earlier the other commander's wife say, you're so lucky you have such a well-behaved handmaid.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that now they're just like, yeah, our handmaid can talk people off ledges. And produce babies. What?
Good point. So, but either way, I was like, I was happy he kind of helped her out in that way. Not maybe helping, but it's one of those, it's my handmaid, so respect my handmaid. Who knew she would jump?
Oh, she was just so, well, yeah, we talked about it before the show, how much, like, even though I love
Janine. Mm-hmm.
I want her to die because please get out of this hellhole. This is not a good life for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was way checked out. She was like, no, I'm done with this place.
She should have dry pavement over a freeway. Just put them out there.
Like, I was like, more likely.
She's going to hit that water. They're probably going to try and like save her. If she had jumped off of a freeway.
It would have been much harder.
Well, I thought like the cold water wouldn't help. You know, that's a factor. And then, then I got the logistics of it going on. I'm like, well, she's high, but it's not that high of a bridge. I'm like,
she also jumped feet first and not head first, which would have done some good.
She jumped full body.
Yeah, she did like a pancake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you should have gone. You should die.
People survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
They had and that was huge. Damaged, but they still survive it. So
I feel bad that she survived, which is such an awful thing to say.
Yeah. Side note, back to the girl friendship. I think it's Lindergy says some guys can't handle deep female friendship. Yeah, that's true. Of like, you must be together because you're such close friends.
Because
like,
they're taught to
or
not
they're
have
threatened by
deep male friendships.
Yeah.
And then who was surprised that she was still alive?
It was like, par for the course, every time we think someone's out, like, it wouldn't surprise me if, what's-her-face's character is still alive.
Offlin 1?
Yes. Like, honestly, like, they just seem to keep women alive just to continue the torture. They're just like, you should just probably be alive so we can just keep hurting you.
Yeah.
I'm just really sorry that she stuck with Aunt Lydia in that room.
It was interesting that Aunt Lydia hung out in there. That was another moment where you're like, I want to like you.
I want you to leave this girl alone. Like, you've done enough today.
Just
like, just give her space.
What do we think of this? Bernie in the chat says, maybe Janine will be the reason that Aunt Lydia stands against the rules and becomes one of the heroes.
Oh, my God.
I doubt it, but I like that theory.
That was one of my biggest questions. At what point, what will it take for the people in the circle to speak up and say, hey, guys, maybe this is not a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take something that affects them personally. You know, they're not going to do it out of goodwill. But if handmaids keep killing themselves or attempting to kill themselves.
I mean, it's like... Well, it's horrible to say, but it's like slavery. I'm sure there were slaves that killed themselves. And it kept going for hundreds of years. The point isn't to, for that to affect people. The point is for them to indoctrinate the next generation of handmaids in order for that to be less. It's not necessarily... They know, like, the first generation of handmaids are probably going to kill themselves a lot.
Right.
Or be difficult.
Yes.
And so if they can make it into a system where their mindset is warped into being a handmaid, that's a better
Which
structure.
Is why my guess is that, depending on how far we go with the show and how long Offered stays offered, there's a chance she might like be recruited into Lydia's if she can't produce children. And that, like, my guess is they start taking the strongest handmaids, and after you've passed fertility, your fertility range, you become an aunt and start watching over the girls. And again, just to keep inundating the same things over and over again.
Yep. Then we have, though, that we kind of nice, though, that the Putnam man gets taken away. And the wife and Serena have their moment where the wife goes, Serena, well, you had that first handmaid issue, and men don't change. It's like...
she's so jealous. Like, this wife is so awful. Like, Serena is trying to be like, hey, you could get caught up, too, so maybe have a backup plan. And she's like, you need to have your own backup plan. I was like, well, damn, girl, like, is it... Y'all can't be friends with each other? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. I feel bad for Serena, kind of. So, I mean, Serena's, like, awful, but at the same time, like... No, I don't feel bad. You created this world. Never mind. I take that.
No, she's not. She's not a good person.
totally side note of it, because it's only hinted at maybe in the book, and the show doesn't really address it. Do we think Aunt Lydia is gay?
She reads very lesbian to me, but that does not mean anything. I've met a lot of...
No, that wouldn't necessarily affect how she treats the handmaids, but it's...
Well, not even that, but I just mean that, like, we don't have any... inclination one way or the other. I mean, right now, at best, she represents asexual. And that we haven't seen her, like, give eyes to anyone. We haven't seen her, like, give preferential treatment either to anyone. Like, it's just, she's kind of just neutral at this point.
I think I brought that up because I remember somebody pointing out in a comment before that there was hints that Janine and Aunt Lydia had more intimate time together because Janine went to her office back when they were at the Red Center.
Interesting.
It's one of those that's never explicitly said, but it's one of those.
But even if she was, I don't know that she would ever cross the line. She seems so indoctrinated. Right? So,
Then we have that moment, though, after Serena learns that, when she goes into the office of her husband, who is happy that she busted into his office. She's like, nope.
I didn't understand the point of it. I'm like, he's not there. Is it just breaking the threshold?
Yes, because she's never allowed in there. Like, he says, like, she's never been in here. She's not allowed in here. See, it is the man den space. You
know, my nosy ass would always just be like, he's not home. It's cool. I'm walking in there. I want to read a book. Like, I don't have time. But I understand in the context of the show. Like, but it totally missed me in watching it. Yeah. Am I proud of her? Yeah. I don't
feel pride when it comes to Serena.
I can't. Serena just... I wanted to for the long... Before I knew Serena's past, I was like, man, it sucks because you got to get... it behooves you to fall in line and do your best. But you started this shit?
Yeah.
I have no time for you. I have zero patience. You literally created the situation that you're in.
Yeah, she's the most selfish character, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, the command... They're all selfish, but she knows what's going on.
I would like to see a change in Serena, because she does feel very human and possible. Like, she could change, but I don't... Also, I'm not going to hold out hope for her.
Yeah. Yes. Then we get the other big moment at the end. We have Offred's at the grocery store and gets a package from Moira.
That's right.
They did it.
Yes.
But then the man helping her, that implies that there's men involved with this as well, which is cool to verify that.
We got a nice dude, possibly.
Yes.
We don't, again, you have to be precautious in this world. You have no idea what the end result of any of this is going to be. But he had a twinkle in his smile, and he was like, I packed it special for you. Please don't give this to your overlords.
Saved it just for you.
Just looking at you, kid. And then the note from Moira.
Yes.
I started shouting.
That's great. Because it rekindled that Moira's still
she's still there.
Fire's back. Which is so great.
Which I needed, by the way. Because last episode, I was like, you cannot keep a feminist down. Why? Why is this happening? Why is she turning? Why is she giving up? So that was so good.
And then she shanked someone.
That was the best moment.
I didn't even get to that. So she, gets... there it is. Moira gets her weapon again and escapes.
Yeah, when she slips into the... I'm not quite sure what tone of voice. I'm going to call it a slave tone of voice. She's like, I'll be right there, honey. And I'm like, okay, I see you're falling into the coding here. And then she goes over to the toilet and she was like, I got this. I was like, yes. I wish she could have seen the murder, because I feel like Moira's got a lot of rage and it would have satiated me. Like, I have a mild bloodlust after watching this show, and I really would have liked to have watched this dude just get all the way stabbed up. But you know, we got blood on the hands and, you know.
Well, Ofquin did run over someone.
She sure did pop ahead like a melon. It was great.
I guess the only other things we don't see, but good questions, was one, what happens to the wife, Putnam's wife, that, like, now there's no man there? Like, if something happens to him, what happens to wives when the husband's
away? That's what Serena was warning her about. She was like, you could be implemented, and you need to be careful. No, so we don't know quite yet.
But, like, if you're considered innocent and your spouse is taken...
Do you get reassigned?
What happens to you?
We'll find out.
Then also, it was... How do people become aunts? We kind of don't really know how that works. And then, side note, because we do talk a little bit about the book, none of this is in the book now. We are like, we went off to another place, which is so rewarding and fun because it's like an additional story, but like all, this entire episode, none of it's in the book. But it's great because it's like new stuff. Any other predictions for the finale, which is next week? Oh my goodness. Any predictions of where we want to go? Maybe predictions or where do you want it to go?
Cool.
Anybody?
I want to know what's in the package so bad.
Yep.
And they told her not to open it, but please open it.
Please
and
don't probably open
will.
It.
See?
Just follow the orders. Precautions. Safety first.
Yes.
Or the opposite. That is so great. Yeah. No, I want her to.
Any predictions what's in the package?
The chat was saying tape recorder earlier, which is a cool idea, guys. I don't know. I'm not sure what the Resistance needs. We don't know anything about the Resistance.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just really excited to see Mora and see where she's going to go, because you kind of get a little bit of a touch of, like, that we get to follow her as well. And
if June. Yeah, if she could escape, that could change everything. Now you have rumors going around that one got out, and if one got out, I can get out, and you can get out, and you can get out. So it really means a lot, for her to...
Yeah, I hope...
Try.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully succeed. Sorry.
Exactly. No. I hope Moira gets out, is able to do more with the Resistance or helps them. And, yeah, I hope that some of these actions are getting a ripple that the other handmaids... Because it is one of those... there's a lot of handmaids, and no, they don't have weapons. You know, in numbers, you can do more than just, like, one of you.
Right.
So, yes. All right, so next week is the finale, which is crazy that it's, like, we're done.
It seems so fast.
So quick.
So where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow.
On my website. That is online. www.veronicabonline.com.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com and every Wednesday at Schmoes Know. If you head over to the Black Girl Nerds podcast on iTunes now, you can check out my interview with Mark Bernardin, former movie editor for the LA Times, current writer of Genius, the comic book series, and also a host on Kevin Smith's Batman on Batman. All around good guy. We talk all things nerdy and blurdy, so check it out.
And American Gods.
Also that stuff.
My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And then you can also find me then on Sunday is season 2 of Wynonna Earp. So if you like strong female character shows, very different
lesbians.
Vibe from this one. And yes, if you like lesbians, you should watch Wynonna Earp. It's also just an excellent show. Season 1 is on Netflix if you're totally not caught up with that. American Gods Sunday night with this awesome lady, as well as Box Office Breakdown, where we look at the movies that came out over the weekend.
With Frank Moran!
Huh?
I said with Frank Moran.
Yes, with Frank Moran. And then on Monday is Sense 8, which we're also on that together. So if you like fun
like seeing us together, we do a lot of
we do a few shows.
All together.
Again, thank you so much for watching. Make sure to give it a thumbs up, 5 stars on iTunes. Leave a comment down below. What did you think of the episode? What do you think is going to happen in the finale? Oh my goodness. Well, again, thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Praise be, bitch!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.